It's KJ Carson on WEEI.
Download the Odyssey app and listen on demand anytime.
To me, he's going to have some games where he looks like 1993 Drew Bledsoe, who at one point had a five-pick game. He was horrendous. The team was 1-11. They won their last four games in a row. Bledsoe was unbelievable in some of them because he finally started to understand what was being asked of him and accepted it. Best case as well is his resilience, poise, and enthusiasm for the game, which right now I think are some of his greatest strengths, and his toughness physically, all remain intact through the year, and he gets to play all the time. He never gets hurt. I think that's a very underrated aspect of his value.
Second hour, KJ Carson here on WEEI. It's kind of weird to call yourself by your third person. 617-779-7937. Text line 37937. That's Tommy Curran saying what you should probably view Drake May through the lens of 93 Bledsoe. And we'll get into the conversation regarding the Patriots' Drake May shortly here. 617-779-7937. Let's go to David in the car. David, thanks for your call. You're on WEEI. Hello, David.
He's up. He may have left the phone.
Okay, he's gone. So no worries. So look, here's the thing with the Patriots moving forward. It is the rock bottom that most people have ever seen with this franchise. Think about it, even when Brady goes down with the bad ankle and Castle goes in there. That's better than anybody could have scripted, considering what Castle would be once he goes to Kansas City. Doesn't really become the sturdy person. It just happened because the culture was so ripe for him to be successful in that moment. It worked. And now you have a situation where you're having to make an adjustment on that culture. Now, some would say, like, how much different is it if it's Belichick's one of his own guys? But I think it's just kind of modernizing what's going on. Hey, think of it, like, Nico, I'll tell you about this. So there was this home I was looking at. I was just like, oh, wow, $1 million, that's a good price for the home, two-car garage. You know, everything. Maybe do a little scrubbing on the siding. Maybe people are like, hey, this guy's trying to help me sell my house. But, you know, it looks really good. Then you get to the interior, everything's gutted. I'm like, damn, for $1 million, they want you to buy a gutted house and put your imagination on it. That's kind of like with the Patriots. Still a very high value for the franchise, even though you kind of need to gut some things and start to rebuild. So, you know, you need to make your house a little more friendly to being able to put Wi-Fi or heavier electronics in the home. You know, you might not want to put that TV over the fireplace because no one ever designed that firewall to take, you know, studs for you to put a TV in front of it. So I'm not sure if it's as bad as one thinks because the structure is still in place. It's just that you have to, you know, scrape off some paint and probably repaint the house. And got an empty house. We'll get to that in a second. David is back. Thank you for your call. David, you're on WEEI.
Hey, good morning, guys. Thank you. Sorry about that.
Yeah, no worries.
So, I just want to touch base on this whole thing hitting players in baseball.
Right.
I personally think I'm against it. I think it's a cowardly way of... So you have a guy who played for you, like Verdugo, you guys were talking about. He left. He's coming back, whatever the case. He's going to be playing here. What is the point? Potentially hurting a person really bad because, you know, that ball could end up hitting somebody where they don't see it coming, whatever, in the head, whatever. To me, it's just a stupid thing rule that should be done away with it. That when you can tell it's intentional, it should be an automatic disqualification, for, not just for that game. They need to do like the, you know, I've been watching the Euro Cup and, you know, Copa America and stuff like that, where these guys get a red card. They're suspended for the next one or two games, depending on the situation. And that's how it should be. And I know in baseball there's a lot of games, so it really doesn't affect the game that much because you have so many games. But to me, for the simple reason the baseball still allows that is ridiculous.
Well, David,
it should be done away with it.
Let me ask you this. If you suspend a game, if you suspend the pitcher for a game, is it the next game or the next game he's supposed to start? Because if he's suspended for
the next game, that's
conjecture, right? Because you say, hey, well, he wasn't supposed to, he was going to start again tomorrow. So that's why I don't think you could have it that way.
Why not? You suspend him the next, whatever game he's scheduled to start next.
But that's all conjecture. I mean, he doesn't have to start his next start on the day he's supposed to start his next start. There's no mandatory thing that's it.
I know he doesn't. And there's ways around that. And that's the gray area that can be worked around it. you know, where you can get away with it. But to me, it's immature to allow that. It really is. Oh, I'm going to hit this guy because I don't like him.
David, thanks for the call. I'll address that. So, yeah, the tricky thing is baseball has always been about how can I get as close to the lines without skirting the rules. So one of them I remember, and this is old school baseball, Keith Hernandez of the Mets used to, when he would hold a runner on first, would keep his back left leg in the base path line to get a lower crouch to be able to get the tag on the runner closer. Whitey Herzog, his old manager, now keep in mind, he was doing the same stuff when he played for Whitey Herzog, comes out and says the guy's in violation of the rule. Hernandez had been doing it for like 15 years, like 10 years at that point. So they're always looking for advantages, and it's the same thing with plunking a batter. How can you really know what the intention is? If a ball just gets loose from a guy's hand, I mean, should he be suspended for a game because of a wild pitch that gets loose? You know, now throwing at the head, I think baseball has kind of discussed that, and that's one of those situations where you're like, hey, baseball does address that if they see that you're trying to hit somebody at the head or there's an intention at the head. But I mean, if I get you in the nice meaty part, if I get you in the ribs or something like that, brother, hopefully you're doing your calisthenics and sit-ups and get their ass down first. When you used to have batters in the National League up until a few years ago, some guys, I remember back in the day, you know, when a batter could hit 200, that means it's like this guy can really contribute at the bottom of the lineup. But if they were right-hand pitcher, they didn't want them batting if they were left-handed. Like, protect that arm because, hey, if they hit you in your right arm batting left-handed, you're no good as a pitcher for us at the same time. So, again, you know, look, baseball has it's no different with hockey and fighting. If you slap that puck once the whistle is blown or you push the goalie and still touching him while he's inside the crease, people are going to throw blows. Someone may say that's but it's still a form of protectionism. So, yeah, so maybe you throw a split finger fastball and hit him with it. Maybe you hit him with a changeup, you know, but it's still going to be part of the game. And, you know, it's almost like, you know, do you really think they were able to get tobacco out of the game? And that's what they, you know, you're supposed to, they was trying to do that. Like, I mean, Raffy's up there with a wad. So there's just going to be some things that are part of baseball that you just can't get beyond. 617-779-7937. Text line 37937. We'll pick up the conversation regarding the Patriots and a very interesting story that popped out to me that says maybe help is on the way. But right now it's time to trend with Nico.
Get Boston Sports Original on the go wherever you go. Just download the Odyssey app.
It's KJ Carson on WEEI.
Yeah, so I felt like there was a little bit of I don't want to say cheating, but there's a little bit of like stretching the rules. And we were like losing at the time. I was frustrated. They were double teaming me. I wasn't getting to be able to do my thing. And I'm a little bit hot headed that I've had to work on over my career. So I saw him kind of look at a player. Player takes a knee. He's not even injured, but he takes a knee, gives him time. Like they had given us the first down. We were finally starting to get a little momentum. And then, you know, he was able to challenge the play, and I wasn't too happy. So I just kind of let him know, like, that I didn't feel like that was the right thing to do, but it is what it is.
Yeah, yeah. So, but everything's okay now.
Everything's good. Yeah. I mean, he's not coaching anymore, so I don't have to deal with him. So.
Yeah, that's true.
It's all good.
That's true. Because I feel like Bill Belichick would historically really like somebody like you.
Well, it's funny, actually, after that, I believe that going to that next offseason, he had reached out to the team about, you know, possibly trading for me, trying to get me to come there. So it must have been like a good impression. He must have liked that kind of tenacity or competitiveness.
Uh-huh. KJ here on WEEI. Good Sunday to you. 617-779-7937. Text line 37937. That is Carolina Panthers receiver Adam Thielen reflecting on the game when he was still with Minnesota against the Patriots. Patriots win the game. And that there was potentially a move to get Adam Thielen to come here about 5 years ago. Why am I bringing this up now? I believe that Thielen may end up being a cap casualty for the Carolina Panthers and will be here with the New England Patriots to help support the growth of Drake May. Now, he'd even talked about what happened last year. He had a good season in Carolina, but, you know, that was the most losses he's ever had in his career. And what he told KFAN in Minneapolis is, I think that's our sister station, quote, it was probably the biggest growth I've had as a person, as a player ever in my life, just because I had to be the person to say that I'm a day in and day out. I kind of had to check myself at the door every single day because things weren't easy. Things weren't going smooth. So that sounds to me, that's a guy who says, you know what? I've made good money. If I'm a cap casualty, I believe that Drake May has a better upside than Bryce Young, which I think is the absolute truth. Now, you don't hear me waving pom-poms about Drake May, but if you said, take Bryce Young or take Drake May, I said, give me Drake May. Bryce Young looks absolutely overwhelmed, scared, and small out there. And if you're Adam Thielen, you're like, boy, I've got probably three more ticks left on this clock. Let me go somewhere where I've already done this. I know what it's like to work with a developing quarterback. Maybe this is a better developing quarterback, and I'll probably get a chance to play with a veteran quarterback to start off right away. So I'm not saying, hey, you're going to go into a winning situation, but how winning was Carolina last year? It was below winning. I think the Patriots will be better even than that, than what they had in Carolina last year. And so I think part of the development of Drake May, because I want to be positive about this, and then towards the end of the show, we will play a classic parody to remind you of just how much better it's going to be than what it was, is that take it slow. Take your time. Don't be in a rush. You know, if you look back to what the Cam Newton situation brought you, you think about it. We were frustrated at 7-9 at that time. The fan base were like, oh my gosh, we've never seen anything. It's never been this bad. But now it's worse than that. And so it's almost like, hey, could 7-10 be now more appealing than it was, say, about 4 years ago? I would say yes, but you have to take your time. And then you have competency in there. And I'm going to say this about Cam Newton, and I'm not ashamed to say it. I think it was a guy that just realized that the hype train had left the station, and now the lights on the back of that train, you can't even see anymore. That the skill set just was not there. He's still making comments about, you know, why I couldn't have been here. Now that's moving to the comments about Brady being how he's being paid as a commentator and so forth and whatnot. And while there's a little bit of ounce of to what he's saying, bro, you're not the person in terms of like, why isn't he a number two guy and so forth. And it makes you wonder why you didn't have a quarterback that had a similar skill set as what you were trying to be as your future, right? So if you've got Cam Newton as your lead and you're Mac Jones, is probably like, well, I'm not going to be running like that. And I can throw the ball, you know, across the field. But you weren't able to see how things were done right or wrong in a game. Like if there's something probably Mac Jones probably could have made or learned from Cam Newton if he had sat a few more games, is when to pull the ball down and just sneak out of bounds for 3 yards, or earlier on learning to throw the ball away instead of trying to make a play. In college, you can get away with that because you've got superior athletes, probably better than 80% of the teams you play. In the NFL, every guy out there might be the best guy from his hometown in the history of it. So if you take your time with Drake May, and maybe you make a play for Adam Thielen, maybe as a cap casualty as you get into the preseason, he would be the first guy I would get on the phone, because some of Belichick's culture is still here. This is what I was talking about in the last break about the million-dollar home. And I'm just saying, Nico, I talked to some of my friends, and they were like, oh, yeah. I was like, how much is that house? That looks like, you know, it looks like my grandparents' house that sells for like $300,000 here. It's just like, this is New England. This is what they do. It's called pricing you out. You got to pay $1 million for a shack.
It's getting crazy.
Yeah, like even when COVID hit, you start seeing all these, like, because I would drive through a lot of lower falls over Newton. I would be, you know, that's where I was kind of staying at the time, right? And so I was just seeing all these houses for sale. I was just like, but I bet you they won't budge off of a penny off of their asking price. That's so New England. So yeah, so you've got kind of like you still have $1 million home. Now, some would say, well, you know, that's not a lot of home here. That might be the half of a house. That's fine, but you've got a good structured house. You probably have excellent schools, right? But the point being is, it's not going to be so different that Adam Thielen would be walking into a culture that doesn't still have some of its old DNA on there. So him saying, you know, Belichick is gone, you know, I don't have to worry about him anymore, where he might be a guy that would be understanding of coming to this culture and being able to contribute. And knowing that, think about it. Would he rather help develop a quarterback whose owner of the team is David Tepper, who is seen on camera throwing a drink, or Robert Kraft, who's seen on... Never mind. I'm sorry. I'm kidding. No, but seriously, you've got a better structure and organization in place here that really none of... You've got new faces and none of the faces are really new. You don't have the incompetency of, like, the struggles that Kendrick Bourne, the reports and some of the stories were in terms of dealing with Patricia and Drudge. Those days are gone. So if you can have a Kendrick Bourne and an Adam Thielen and then the other mix of receivers trying to really battle themselves out to see who's going to be receivers 3 through 5, now I'm going to say I feel much better about the receiver room, even though I don't have any barn burner out there on the outside. I know I've got respectable guys out there who will be able to make plays to make the quarterback look good versus the quarterback feeling having to make plays with guys who don't have the abilities to help make those plays. So if you can get someone like an Adam Thielen here at a reduced number, you're not saying, hey, you're going to be our 1A guy, and we know that you are towards your end. Maybe you're getting something, you know, maybe the second to last year of Edelman, you know, right before Edelman, you know, had that final injury that just really just kind of hobbled him for the rest of the time. But if you can get a great possession receiver, you know, you're redeveloping what you're doing with the tight ends. You still have Hunter Henry in place. These are good pieces. Now, this goes back to what I was saying about how the team was built for Cam Newton. Built around things that would be seven yards in intermediate. Nothing really to give you a deep threat. But now if you've got really great intermediate tools, you know Bourne can get to that second level and make exceptional catches. It's just really the big down the field plays is where you're still concerned. But if you look at the offensive line, how many Mississippis do you want really to count before someone gets to the quarterback when the left side is just absolutely horrible? 617-779-7937, text line 37937. KJ here with you on your Sunday. We're about 20 minutes away from would you rather, more likely to, either or, and then we still have to talk about the Celtics for sale and what that means and what the reconfigured Eastern Conference looks like. We still have all that to come before I get out of here at 12 o'clock. All right, Steve in Fall River, thanks for calling WEEI. Good Sunday to you, man.
How are you?
Good, excellent.
So I'm really... You know, we didn't learn our lesson last year. We had people saying the Patriots were going to be a 12-win team.
Not me.
11-win team. That was
at six.
No, that was, I forget his name. That was, who's the lead guy there? Who would say is the lead analyst for the Patriots? What's his name?
Tommy Curran?
Used to work for the Province Journal. Yeah, Tommy Curran. He said yeah. He admitted he projected him for 12. We heard throughout the season that the Belichick and company were quietly confident about the team last year. Well, Vegas had them at, what, 7.5? Everybody was down on them.
Over, under, and I think it dropped down to 6.5, yeah.
Believe it or not, we were right. The fandom was right. Even though the fandom has proven to be wrong now with the Red Sox, but the fandom was right last year. This year, I'm hearing things that don't make any sense. We're hearing that just because we took Drake May at 3, we're going to get better quarterback play. I don't know where that comes from. We're not going to get it out of Jacoby Brissett, the happy, lucky loser that he is. Smile on his face, makes $8 million a year, can't win a game.
Why are you in a man's pocket?
And we're putting. You've got Pro Football Focus said we had the worst receiving core in the league. Somebody else said we're paying the least money in the league. Out of 32 teams or 31 teams. And I'm going to start with something that you might believe, but I say is wrong. I don't know where this top five defense is in. I think we just say it without any context.
Well, top five is too high. Top five is too high of a number.
Have you heard that bandied around?
If that's been bandied out there, it's going in one ear and out the other. Now, if we're talking top 10 or top 12, then, yeah, I think we can have the conversation, but top five, no, because if you're talking top five defense,
KJ,
you're probably talking
on and on, man, about top five.
Yeah, I don't listen to any top five defense talk.
Christian Gonzalez is going to be, the next Deion Sanders. Let's pump the brakes on Christian Gonzalez. The guy played 3 games. I mean, we've had, I don't know if I brought this up to you on last week. I brought it up last week. I remember Devin McCourty had 10 picks, all rookie NFL, blah, blah, blah. 3 years later, he couldn't play cornerback anymore. They had to demote him to safety. I mean, we've got to, just like any other position. Okay, but he couldn't play cornerback anymore.
Right, the speed got past him, right.
Demotion. That is a demotion. I didn't want him there. We wanted him at corner. But this guy, we got him plugged in as the next corner for the next 10 years. Believe me, I hope he is. But I can't take that and project for the season. Drake May is going to give me a vast upgrade. Christian Gonzalez is going to anchor a top five defense. And even if we're slightly better on offense, we're 7, 8, 9 wins.
Steve, that's my number. I said 7 wins at best. And I almost have to figure that. That Drake May doesn't factor into a lot of those games, of those wins. I think maybe Brissett maybe gives you 4 wins and May gives you 3 wins. But no one is sitting here saying, I've heard some people say that, hey, this could be a 9-win team. I'm thinking there's absolutely no way. There's absolutely no way. Right. Okay, so.
But that's my point. You talked about a foundation. Where is the foundation here?
Well, the foundation is through Mayo, and it's still connected through the defense. Now, I didn't say the defense is going to be top 5, but if you told me it's going to be top 10 or 12, I still believe that. You could be the 12th best defense in the league and not be a playoff team. You might have more wins than what it looks like you have on paper offensively, and I think that's what's going to happen with this Patriots team, that if they can keep games in a low scoring, some of these other teams, maybe like the Rams, where you think, you know, that, hey, that you, the Rams will win that game. No, if you could keep the Rams in a close game, defensively, you feel like someone can force a mistake or shorten the field for Brissett or for Drake
right.
May.
How about if I say I agree with you on all of that, but guess what? The most likely outcome is we're going to finish last in the division.
Oh, I totally agree. Like, there's no way you can tell me
last in the division. I don't care if they have the 12th defense. I don't care if their power ranking is 22. You have to get out of your division, and you are firmly last place, and people are degrading what the quarterback in New York is going to bring to them. I forget his name. Oh, he's on coke. He's on this. He's out at the – he's got his mind with him. But he's going to bring something to that team, and we're going to be in last place.
Yeah, I think – thanks for the call, Steve. I always appreciate the banter. Look, I think the AFC East is going to be one of those conferences that you may have a conversation of two additional teams besides the conference winner being a wild card. So let's just say the Bills win the division. I believe the Jets are going to make that run. I think this is, if you don't do it with Aaron Rodgers, that team is going to start to be parsed off and sold piece by piece if they can't make a run to the playoffs. So I think they're in the playoffs. Miami's the team where I think I have the question mark is, could they be the team that's looking at the scoreboard on the very last game of the season to see if they get in? The AFC North is just going to be an absolute brutal, brutal gauntlet. So whoever wins that division, probably the second place team, is probably the wild card, and there's probably no wild card coming out of the Western, out of the West, and none out of the AFC South. Right. So I think you get your AFC South winner, then there's no wild card out of that division. Your AFC West winner, and no wild card winner out of that one. And then probably the NFC North, one wild card winner. And then in the AFC East, 2 wild cards. So there are your 3 wild cards and your 4, and your 3 division winners. 4, 1, 2, 3, 4. Yeah, your 4 division winners. So, yeah, the Patriots are going to be last in the AFC East. I would be the last person to tell you anything different. I think the difference is going to be is like, hey, wow, this may be the division that has the 3 teams going, where last year it was the AFC North, right? It was Baltimore, Cleveland, and the Steelers. Steelers got in, right? Steelers were the last ones to get in. I don't think the Steelers are going to be that. I don't think Cleveland's going to be that again this year. I think it's going to be an absolute dogfight between Baltimore and Cincinnati. I think Baltimore may win that one. Cincinnati may slip on a couple of banana peels. You just don't know. I mean, they look great on paper, but they still have some things to figure out. Their running game with Joe Mixon tends to be important, especially if you need to hold leads. If you don't have anyone back there to help you do that, it's going to be a problem. But I think that, you know, if Aaron Rodgers, think about it. Aaron Rodgers could be half of Aaron Rodgers, and that Jets team, at least in the last 2 weeks, are playing for a final wild card spot. That's just how bad their quarterback play is. So if you say Aaron Rodgers doesn't get hurt, the defense that they have, they've made an attempt to shore up that offensive line, so you'll see what happens. I am not here to tell you folks that I believe that the Patriots are going to be in any type of run to even get into third place in the AFC East. I think it would be the Dolphins' season to figure out whether they can move the ball forward, stay stagnant, and the worst thing is they regress. I think there's just too much talent for them to regress. I think they might be in that same position where they're like, hey, you look strong at some point, but it wasn't enough to get you into the wild card again. So, yeah, 7 wins for the Patriots. I don't have a problem saying that, and I think that's probably stretching it out to its maximum. But how many wins was it last year? You know, you don't want to find yourself in a situation where, okay, hey, we're playing for, you know, we're going to have a top 5 pick again. Because now you're saying, okay, whatever you had last year, you still have to figure it out next year. And you don't want this suddenly be this 3-year project. And that could be the case with Drake May. I have called Drake May Mitch Trubisky Jr. But if you allow him to sit for a second, he doesn't get thrown in the fire like Mitch Trubisky did. Or Sam Howell, who, I mean, he's better than Sam Howell, but I'm kind of giving you this kind of North Carolina quarterback thesis. It's like Penn State running backs after you get past Franco Harris and Kurt Warner. Who do you really have? So look, I'm not that person who believes that the Patriots are going to be a top 5 defense. When you talk top 5 defense, you're talking about, and you're forgetting the NFC East, right? You're forgetting the NFC. You figure Dallas is going to be in that mix. San Francisco is going to be in that mix. Buffalo is going to be in that mix. That's 3 already. Baltimore may step it up, be in that mix. Detroit's got a pretty impressive defense as well. So that's 5 there already. I wouldn't say, and then come the Patriots. No. But if you start talking about maybe a team that has a pretty decent defense but a lackluster offense, which I think is going to be the Patriots, yeah, I can see. I mean, if they're top 15 defense, that means they're the first team better than the second half of the league. You know, so, yeah, top 5, I don't see that. I mean, that's a bit of pom-poms and cheerleader outfits there. Not really that's going to happen. But I think the defense is solid. I think Gonzalez, because he flashed well early, then got injured. Do I say he's the savior? No, but what's going to keep the boat afloat and probably the Patriots in games this year is going to be the defense. You know, you probably need to probably fish out, is there another running back that you get on this roster to help out with Ramondre Stevenson? Because his story is kind of to feel a little bit like the one that Damian Harris had. Damian Harris flashed, and within a season and a half, injury set in, ended up becoming the number 2 back. He had a good 1-2 back tandem with the two of them. But now Ramondre is the lead and has been the load. I think, 2 years ago, was the leading receiver as well. So those are things you have to think about on the offensive side of the ball, but primarily the left side of the line is just the nightmare scenario. And that's why I say you also don't put Drake May out there, because that hasn't been addressed or fixed yet. 617-779-7937, text line 37937. We'll get your text messages and calls next. Plus, would you rather, more likely to, either or, here on WEEI. Thanks for hanging out.
It's KJ Carson on WEEI.
WEEI 617-779-7937. Text line 37937. Good Sunday to you. All right, still to come, we've got to get into the Celtics conversation regarding the potential sale of the team. The Shaughnessy article that was so good that I literally saw someone on Twitter plagiarize it, so much so that they didn't even take out the quote part. Like, if you're going to plagiarize, don't put in I. Well, really, don't plagiarize. Look, yesterday I tuned into a little bit of the summer league game between the Sacramento Kings and the Los Angeles Lakers. And the noise is just going to get louder about James Jr. Like, they're putting him in the box score as B. James. I'm like, who the hell is B. James? Like, why are we calling him the nickname already when it's James Jr.? If he's got James Jr. on his, then it should be James Jr. L. James Jr. in the box score. Let's not tickle the taint here with this situation, because it ain't pretty. This is a summer league game. This is literally where maybe 2 guys or 3 guys from your roster might sniff the end of the bench, and most of them are going to be on your G League team, except for James Jr., who in 22 minutes was 2-for-9 from the field, 0-for-3 from three, missed both of his free throws, had 2 assists, that's nice, and was a minus 15 on the floor with 4 points. That's guaranteed money right there. You know what that stat line sounds like, Nico?
It sounds like the G League to me.
Yeah, it sounds like the USC stat line at college. Someone's going to say, hey, look, it was the first game. Look, even Dalton Kinect going 3-for-12 was 1-for-4 from three, you know, missed half of his free throws. At least this guy's, you know, getting his shots off. LeBron 2-for-9, 4 points. 0-for-2 from the free throw line. If he made those two free throws, some would then be able to argue he is outpacing his average from USC. I mean, how is that not scream G League? And I think this is what's unfortunate, is because you want a healthy Lakers-Celtics rivalry, but it would almost feel like anytime you're playing the Lakers and James Jr. is on the bench and J.J. Redick is the head coach, you're like, are we in the middle of a reality TV show? Are they filming? Is there another film crew here filming all of this? It's a possibility. 37937 text line 617-779-7937. Your calls. Nico, I mentioned I watched a little bit of that game. The Lakers were getting blown out. It was kind of enjoyable to watch. And then I was just like, you know what? I got to turn on some other stuff. And I've recently been watching a lot of crime docs. Just because, you know, when your family gets into the Netflix algorithm, like my wife watches a lot of South Korean love stories, and sometimes we'll forget to log into her portal, and it messes up my algorithm. So now, me watching all these crime docs here, I'm getting stuff like how to make money selling drugs and serial killers and somehow Glee. But, no, kidding. But have you been watching anything recently? Because we're in the middle of a four-day weekend.
You know, KJ, I've just been watching a lot of the Euros and Copa America, a lot of soccer lately.
Yeah, you know, it's hard for me to watch the Copa America because the America part of it is not very good when it comes to these Copas. Like, so it's almost kind of like you almost have to pull up a map again and be like, oh, yeah, Belize, I forgot about them. You know, like, but then when you watch what's going on in the Euros over, you know, you're like, oh, my gosh, England is dominating, but what happens when they face France? You know, like real players, it's such a step 100%. Down.
Outside of Argentina and Colombia in the Copa America, there is a massive drop off between the Euros and Copa America.
Even Uruguay, they've had a couple of guys recently retire. They've had people that would be able to really put up something. You know, so, you know, and when we talk about American soccer, I'll be careful what I say, but it's almost kind of like, this is what you get when you kind of keep putting these kids through expensive academies and thinking that they could play on the international level.
It's definitely a root issue to the problem is the pay to play in America.
Yeah, that's the thing. I mean, if you've got kids in these very poor places where the average income for the year is $25 kicking that soccer ball, let's just call it what they have. Incentive to make that thing work. I mean, it's like, take the American Revolution. Do you think the British wanted it more than the people here? Like, they were ready to hide in trees and trenches while the British were saying, we're just going to be in our red coats and be in a straight line. Some people want it more. I think there is a way for American soccer to get it, but it would cost a whole lot of money if you wanted my opinion. Anything else you've been watching?
I finally finished The Sopranos, KJ. I know I'm very behind, but yeah, I finally did it. Was not a fan of the ending. Understand what it was supposed to be. I just didn't like the way they cut to black like that.
So, what is it called? I forgot the name of the movie, but they made a full movie, which is supposed to be the prequel to The Sopranos. Have you seen that?
I have not seen that, but I heard that it was okay, and that it did not live up to the hype, is what most people said.
Well, nothing's ever going to live up to the hype of The Sopranos, because that was a week-to-week anticipation. If you're making a movie, then I think it's the Saints of Newark. I think that's what it's called.
Yes, I believe that's the title.
Now that you've watched The Sopranos, go and watch The Saints of Newark, and then it puts a little more color into it. Now, for those who are thinking, I'm going to watch The Sopranos, it's the Russians that killed Tony. That's what really happened. And that's when the music stopped. Don't stop believing. The gunshots go off. You know that's what happens. But I think it's, go back, watch The Saints of Newark, and it gives you a better colorization of why Tony's uncle was the way he was, why his mom was the way she was, how Tony came to be, and how he really wasn't kind of like a chosen one in the early days of things, who his father was and how big his dad was. So I think if you go back and see that, you could probably understand how things would finally catch up with him in that very last episode that you absolutely hated to see. 617-779-7937. Text line 37937. Shyam and John Lyons coming up at 12 noon. But right now it's time for... Yeah! I love playing this game.
You rather more like the two. Either or, I ask of you. Would you rather more like the two. Either or, I ask of you.
All right, three questions. Would you rather, more likely to happen, and either or? They can be in anything, sports, life. Here we go.
All right, KJ. It's time to play everybody's favorite game on this show. First up, would you rather do everything to keep Matthew Judon as your defensive leader or listen to offers that can get your picks in the third and fourth round?
Ooh. Do everything you can to keep Matthew Judon as that leader in the locker room or listen to offers that can get you more picks, say, in the third and fourth rounds. This is tough because...
It's KJ Carson on WEEI.
WEEI 617-779-7937. Text line 37937. Good Sunday to you. All right, still to come, we've got to get into the Celtics conversation regarding the potential sale of the team. The Shaughnessy article that was so good that I literally saw someone on Twitter plagiarize it, so much so that they didn't even take out the quote part. Like, if you're going to plagiarize, don't put in I. Well, really, don't plagiarize. Look, yesterday I tuned into a little bit of the summer league game between the Sacramento Kings and the Los Angeles Lakers. And the noise is just going to get louder about James Jr. Like, they're putting him in the box score as B. James. I'm like, who the hell is B. James? Like, why are we calling him the nickname already when it's James Jr.? If he's got James Jr. on his, then it should be James Jr. L. James Jr. in the box score. Let's not tickle the taint here with this situation, because it ain't pretty. This is a summer league game. This is literally where maybe two guys or three guys from your roster might sniff the end of the bench. And most of them are going to be on your G League team, except for James Jr., who in 22 minutes was 2-for-9 from the field, 0-for-3 from three, missed both of his free throws, had 2 assists, that's nice, and was a minus 15 on the floor with 4 points. That's guaranteed money right there. You know what that stat line sounds like, Nico?
It sounds like the G League to me.
Yeah, it sounds like the USC stat line at college. Someone's going to say, hey, look, it was the first game. Look, even Dalton Kennett going 3-for-12 was 1-for-4 from three, you know, missed half of his free throws. At least this guy's, you know, getting his shots off. LeBron 2-for-9, 4 points. 0-for-2 from the free throw line. If he made those two free throws, some would then be able to argue He is outpacing his average from USC. I mean, how is that not scream G League? And I think this is what's unfortunate, is because you want a healthy Lakers-Celtics rivalry, but it would almost feel like anytime you're playing the Lakers and James Jr. is on the bench and J.J. Redick is the head coach, you're like, are we in the middle of a reality TV show? Are they filming? Is there another film crew here filming all of this? It's a possibility. 37937, text line 617-779-7937, your calls. Nico, I mentioned I watched a little bit of that game. The Lakers were getting blown out. It was kind of enjoyable to watch. And then I was just like, you know what? I got to turn on some other stuff. And I've recently been watching a lot of crime docs. Just because, you know, when your family gets into the Netflix algorithm, like my wife watches a lot of South Korean love stories. and sometimes will forget to log into her portal, and it messes up my algorithm. So now, me watching all these crime docs here, I'm getting stuff like how to make money selling drugs and serial killers and somehow Glee. But no, kidding. But have you been watching anything recently? Because we're in the middle of a four-day weekend.
You know, KJ, I've just been watching a lot of the Euros and Copa America, a lot of soccer lately.
Yeah, you know, it's hard for me to watch the Copa America because the America part of it is not very good when it comes to these Copas. Like, so it's almost kind of like you almost have to pull up a map again and be like, oh, yeah, Belize, I forgot about them. You know, like, but then when you watch what's going on in the Euros over, you know, you're like, oh, my gosh, England is dominating, but what happens when they face France? You know, like real players, it's such a step 100%. Down.
Outside of Argentina and Colombia in the Copa America, there is a massive drop off between the Euros and Copa America.
Even Uruguay, they've had a couple of guys recently retire. They've had people that would be able to really put up something, you know. So, you know, and when we talk about American soccer, I'll be careful what I say, but it's almost kind of like, this is what you get when you kind of keep putting these kids through expensive academies and thinking that they could play on the international level.
It's definitely a root issue to the problem is the pay to play in America.
Yeah, that's the thing. I mean, if you've got kids in these very poor places where the average income for the year is $25 kicking that soccer ball, let's just call it what they have. Incentive to make that thing work. I mean, it's like, take the American Revolution. Do you think the British wanted it more than the people here? Like, they were ready to hide in trees and trenches while the British were saying, we're just going to be in our red coats and be in a straight line. Some people want it more. I think there is a way for American soccer to get it, but it would cost a whole lot of money if you wanted my opinion. Anything else you've been watching?
I finally finished The Sopranos, KJ. I know I'm very behind, but yeah, I finally did it. Was not a fan of the ending. Understand what it was supposed to be. I just didn't like the way they cut to black like that.
So, what is it called? I forgot the name of the movie, but they made a full movie, which is supposed to be the prequel to The Sopranos. Have you seen that?
I have not seen that, but I heard that it was okay and that it did not live up to the hype, is what most people said.
Well, nothing's ever going to live up to the hype of The Sopranos because that was a week-to-week anticipation. If you're making a movie, then I think it's the Saints of Newark. I think that's what it's called.
Yes, I believe that's the title.
Now that you've watched The Sopranos, go and watch The Saints of Newark, and then it puts a little more color into it. Now, for those who are thinking, I'm going to watch The Sopranos, it's the Russians that killed Tony. That's what really happened. And that's what the music stopped. Don't stop believing. The gunshots go off. You know that's what happens. But I think it's, go back, watch The Saints of Newark, and it gives you a better colorization of why Tony's uncle was the way he was, why his mom was the way she was, how Tony came to be and how he really wasn't kind of like a chosen one in the early days of things, who his father was and how big his dad was. So I think if you go back and see that, you could probably understand how things would finally catch up with them in that very last episode that you absolutely hated to see. 617-779-7937, text line 37937. Shyam and John Lyons coming up at 12 noon. But right now it's time for... Yeah! I love playing this game.
You rather more like the two. Either or, I ask of you. Would you rather more like the two. Either or, I ask of you.
All right, three questions. Would you rather, more likely to happen, an either or? They can be in anything, sports, life. Here we go.
All right, KJ. It's time to play everybody's favorite game on this show. First up, would you rather do everything to keep Matthew Judon as your defensive leader or listen to offers that can get your picks in the third and fourth round?
Ooh. Do everything you can to keep Matthew Judon as that leader in the locker room or listen to offers that can get you more picks, say, in the third and fourth rounds. This is tough because Judon has kind of let out these cryptic tweets about getting extended or what, I guess maybe whatever the conversations, which way they are going or not going. As much as I would want to keep Matthew Judon here, and I still, let me preface by saying, this team is better with him here now than the unexpected later, just for this season. However, when looking down the pike, Matthew Judon probably has to be honest. Is this a playoff team next year? No. Is it a playoff team this year? No. Is that third or fourth round pick that you may be able to get potentially provide a wide receiver that you didn't expect or some offensive line that desperately you need help for? Yes. So from a business perspective, I would rather listen to those offers if it can get me picks in the third and fourth round here pretty soon.
Okay. More likely to happen. A wealthy foreign investment overpays to own the Celtics, or a U.S.-based investment group buys the Celtics.
Oh, you don't want to miss the 11 o'clock hour. I'll get deep into it. I think what's more likely to happen is a wealthy foreign investment overpays to own the Celtics. Next hour, I'll get into who some of those are. Only because if they're going to pay a number greater than what you're asking, business says you take the deal. I know emotionally you may want to say, hey, I look for this person to be in that place, or maybe you can keep the band together and so forth. At the end of the day, if they're willing to pay you more than what you're putting it out for, that might be the deal you take.
Okay, and next up, either or. You're stuck in an elevator. Which Hawk would you choose to be in the elevator with you? Either Hawk from Spencer for Hire, Dominique Wilkins, Hawk from the Road Warriors, or Haley Hawk Tua Welch.
Oh, God. I'm stuck in an elevator. Which Hawk would I choose to be in the elevator with? Spencer for Hire, Dominique Wilkins, Hawk from the Road Warriors, or Hawk Tua Welch? Okay, so I'm going to eliminate Hawk Tua, right? Just because at this point, you've been at country concerts. You've been on stage. I've seen a picture with you and Shaq. So sometimes people are like, I can never talk to you again after that. I'm going to go with classic old school Spencer for Hire. If you remember Hawk from Spencer for Hire, this is the guy that went into places that, you know, he shouldn't belong, but he pretty much laid and kicked ass. So look, Dominique Wilkins, I can have a great conversation with him. My late uncle used to be a sportscaster in Connecticut. Saw him raised as a kid in Little Washington, and we can have that similar conversation. Hawk from the Road Warriors, I think he's dead. Laurinaitis' son ended up playing for the Rams. I'm going to go with Hawk from Spencer for Hire as the Hawk I would be chosen to be stuck in the elevator with. And that is, would you rather, more likely to, either or, here on WEEI. The final hour here with me on next here. Have a good Sunday.